time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
The legend of a lost city of gold. And the two men brave enough to find it.
I am Miguel.
And I am Tulio.
And they call us Miguel and Tulio.
Seven! Your dice are loaded!
I will give you the honor of a quick and painless death. But not with that.
I'll bet we can make that.
Two pesetas says we can't.
You're all!
You lose.
DreamWorks Pictures invites you.
Holy shit!
Oh no!
To join two friends on an incredible journey.
We'll follow that trail.
What trail?
To the magnificent city of gold.
El Dorado.
Big smile, like you mean it.
They actually think we're gods.
Miguel and Tulio.
The mighty and powerful gods.
Hello.
Now.
You're going to need my help.
What makes you think we need your help?
Are you serious?
They're bound for excitement.
Yeah! Who's the guy?
You the guy.
Go!
Romance. Huh? And danger.
I know you are not gods.
You're not a god?
That was good, huh?
Featuring six new songs from Elton John and Tim Rice, the Oscar-winning team from The Lion King. The Road to El Dorado.
Stop that!
Hello and welcome to the 53rd episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and today I'm joined by Sketch1984. Hello, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are yourself?
Good, good. Today we will be traveling down the road to El Dorado. I don't know what the hell DreamWorks. Oh my god. I don't get this company sometimes.
Well, they were trying real hard to be Disney.
Yeah. Friggin' Katzenberg. I don't mind treasure hunt stuff. I really don't. But this to me is DreamWorks' version of Mysterious Cities of Gold. It just...
How many people got that reference?
Well, we did do an episode way back. I think it was episode 40 of the podcast.
Oh, that's right. You did cover it.
I think so, yeah. Let me look. I think we did. Was it episode 40, 50? I don't remember when the hell it was. People remind me. Yeah, it was episode 40. Was 13 episodes ago we covered the Mysterious Cities of Gold. Optimus Soul and I did cover that. So, yeah, that's all this is a DreamWorks version of that. And sadly, even though I didn't care for the Mysterious Cities of Gold, I prefer that over this. I don't know these. These characters, oh my god, just...
They're pretty basic.
They're basic, they're boring, they're... It's...
Finding them amusing when I was a kid.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, this movie came out in 2000. I was 20... You were 16,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, you're 4 years younger than me.
Something like that.
Yeah. You know, so, but Like, by 2000, I was more into stuff like Titan A.E. You know, that space adventure stuff. You know, I wasn't into treasure hunting. I didn't actually get back into the treasure hunt type stuff.
So I do like space stuff, but you don't like treasure stuff. So what do you think of Treasure Planet?
We'll find out in a future season of Tooncast Beyond. Oh, that's a Disney film for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things, like, for me, treasure hunting is like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah.
That was my, you know, that was my, I know everybody's like, oh, what about Raiders? Well, you know what? I was born the same year that movie came out. I didn't grow up watching Raiders. I was old enough to understand and get Last Crusade. And that is my favorite indie film. And
that's your favorite independent film?
No, indie film as an Indiana Jones film.
I know what you meant.
Yes. I think everybody knew what I meant. Holy crap. I don't watch those other INDIE films. Yeah. There's a big difference. Not IEY. Oh, God. This is turning out to be a train wreck.
Well, I can tell you are so enthusiastic about this film.
You know what? Honestly, the entire time we've been doing the DreamWorks thing from episode, I think it was 30-something. When was it? We started DreamWorks with Shrek 1 and 2. Episode 36. Between episode 36 and now with episode 53, I'm just burnt out on DreamWorks. We will be continuing on with the rest of the season 2 here. And, you know, we'll cover some really, really interesting films after Road to El Dorado. I just, like, okay, well, the only, not necessarily interesting film, Wolverine sold his soul to the toilet gods, apparently, in episode 56. But it's just one of those things where I just, this movie is not for me. It really, really isn't. The two characters, I find them arrogant. Both of, like, usually you have that arrogant guy and the guy that plays the role straight. Both of them are arrogant as all hell. So just to give you all the rundown, Road to El Dorado, 2000 animated adventure musical comedy film produced by DreamWorks. The soundtrack features songs by Elton John and Tim Rice, the music team from Disney's The Lion King. Yay, Katzenberg reunited them. Not to say that's a bad thing, the music in the movie is great. Just the plot itself, just...
So what you're saying is the music is great, but it is wasted on this film.
Yes, pretty much so.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this is inspired by Rudyard Kipling's The Man Who Would Be King, because they find the hidden spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen this movie that's over 10 years old. They finally discover the hidden city of El Dorado, where they are mistaken for gods. Oh, Christ. Somebody shoot me now.
That's a pretty common trope.
I know it's a pretty common trope, but it's like, I honestly...
Power through it, Mike. Power through it.
I did, and I want my money back. I want my rental money back, iTunes. I want my 317 back, damn it. Because, like... I would rather watch The Prince of Egypt 3 times than ever watch this ever again. And I am not a religious person whatsoever. We covered Prince of Egypt 2 episodes ago in episode 51.
3 times? And it sounds like you're watching it religiously.
Ha. Ha ha ha. Where's the Rimshot app when you really need it?
Thanks, Rimshot.
Exactly.
See you later. You
know, it's just one of those things where... I would rather watch any other... I would rather watch Chicken Run again. And I hated Chicken Run because of the stop-motion animation that it uses. I just did not care for this movie at all. What about you? What are your thoughts on Road to El Dorado?
I think it's fairly middling. It's not particularly good, but I didn't find it offensively bad. Like you said, it's got good music.
Yeah.
The animation's pretty okay. The story is basic. It's your typical two friends go on an adventure. They end up having a disagreement. Then they're friends again by the end. Throw in some mysticism and nonsense about people thinking they're gods. And yeah, that's the movie. They're not very redeemable characters. They're just kind of scumbags.
And DreamWorks didn't even really seem to. I mean, okay, I'm looking at the voice cast now. It didn't seem as if they were really going for the big, like, it's not like a Shrek where you go for Eddie Murphy and Michael Myers and Cameron Diaz. I mean, yes, there are big name stars in this film, but most of them are classic. They're either classic voice actors that we already know, in the case of Jim Cummings as Cortez or Frank Welker as Altivio.
The horse,
yes, the horse. Frank Welker is every animal ever.
Oh, yeah, Edward James Olmos is the chief.
I know, you got Edward James Olmos, and you got Armand Asante, Rosie Perez, Kenneth Branagh, and Kevin Klein. So, let me get this straight. The dude from Wild Wild West voiced a character in this.
Oh man, that's a comparison. I don't think that's the movie he wants to be remembered for.
I would rather watch that than watch this again.
Oh, me too. Man, it's been a while since I've seen that. I need a refresher.
Just waiting until it cut. TNT and TV, certain times of the year, TNT, TBS, all those Turner Broadcast Network things, they run various movies, and that's one of them over and over and over and over and over again. I think I've seen between USA, and I know USA is not TNT, it's Universal, but between USA, TNT, and TBS, I think I've seen G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra like 50 friggin' times since it's been out. The interesting thing here is that they got the friggin' songwriter, composer, to be the narrator. Elton John is the narrator. I don't...
I think they put all the money into Elton John.
I really think so as well. You know, it's kind of like, hey, is Will Smith going to come back for Bad Boys 3? No, we can't afford him at this point. You know, I think that's what the case is here, where they put all the, like you said, they put all the money into Elton. People have complained about this podcast before about how we don't go over enough of the plot. Well, I don't want to directly read from Wikipedia to be accused of that trope of a podcast.
Try to remember it the best as you can.
I know. I just finished watching this a day before we record this episode, and it's
just not memorable.
It isn't. Like, I can remember when Kale in Titan A.E., I can remember when he, you know, jumps line in space to cut in line for the food. You know, I can remember that. I can remember Tone Loke telling him, you know, you have a destiny and blah, 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 blah. You know, I can remember almost every single scene from Titan A.E., which is a movie that came out the same year this did, and I can't remember shit about this movie, and I just watched it literally 24 hours ago from when we recorded this. I don't know. If there are people out there that like this movie, that's all well and good, and that's fine. If you do like it, comment on the website, comment on, you know, iTunes or whatever you want to do, and let me know what I'm missing here, because this, to me, is a 21st century setback in the 16th century piss-poor version of Mysterious Cities of Gold. And as everyone knows from listening to episode 40 of the show, I didn't care for Mysterious Cities of Gold, but over this, Mysterious Cities of Gold is, well, golden over this movie. It just... And I think the other thing I don't like about this one is that it's... It always frustrates me when you're supposed to be set in a certain time period, and yet you make a reference to something that has nothing to do with the... Like, I get it. You need to modernize stuff. But if you're doing a period piece in the year 2000, you don't make reference to anything that we have nowadays. And I believe they did that several times in this movie, where they made certain jokes about certain stuff that wasn't even around back in the 16th friggin' century. My head hurts just even
talking about it. Yeah, some movies are guilty of that.
Yeah, pretty much. For the production notes, the creation of The Road to El Dorado was a challenge for the studio because DreamWorks Animation had devoted most of its creative efforts to its previous animated film, The Prince of Egypt. Well, no.
Oh, so that's where the budget went.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, at least it went to something good. The film earned just over $12 million in opening weekend, and it was at number two behind Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich's third weekend. Wow. In total, $76 million. Just north of $76 million is what this movie made back.
How much did it make to produce?
It doesn't say. I'd have to look it up again. It's just one of those things.
Probably didn't
where...
make back its budget.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where... do you have anything else you want to say about the plot or the characterizations or anything of it?
As much as both of the characters were scumbags, you know, you could see that they had a little good in them, and I liked their interaction with each other. Because they were like brothers, and, you know, they gave each other a hard time at times, but they were, you know, thick as thieves, as the term goes. It's, one of them's conflicted about rising to the challenge of being these gods to these people, and the other guy's just like, I don't know, this is a bad idea, let's not do this. And these conflicting opinions don't really differentiate them that much. So as you said, they're both very prideful, just kind of scummy guys. And they somewhat redeem themselves at the end by saving people, but
it's
not the most positive story.
No, not at all. And just to prove my point of how bad this movie is, you asked me about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Budget was $95 million, and it made back just north of 76. So it didn't even make its money back. it didn't even, it's 20, close to 25 million under making its money back. I normally don't pay attention to critical reception. I honestly don't. But in this case, I'm pretty happy with where it sits on Rotten Tomatoes. Has a 49% rotten rating out of 101 reviews at Rotten Tomatoes, with 49 positive reviews, making this the first DreamWorks animated film to earn a rotten rating. The consensus states, predictable story, thin characters, made the movie flat. And honestly,
for a couple of laughs.
Yeah, and the laughs that they put in are jokes only people, you know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you the best line in this movie. You fight like my sister. I fought your sister. That's a compliment. That's it. Now you don't need to see the movie.
God. All right, so we are the IGN replacement crew. We've gone through its GCRN and redone our rating scale. Instead of 1 to 4, we do 0 to 5 stars. 0 is it's unrateable. 1 is terrible. There's a whole bunch of... I'll put the link in the post so people can see the ratings, but how many stars do you give this?
think I could give it a 1.
Yeah, I'm probably right there with you.
So it's not painfully terrible to me, so I wouldn't give it a 0.
Yeah, the only reason why for me that it gets a 1, maybe a 1.5, is because of the fact of the music. The music was great.
That is a good point. If I factor in the music, I might have to give it a 2.
Yeah, the music was great. I'll give it 2 stars as well. Just for the music. The rest of the movie, honestly,
we are haggling this rating.
Yeah, I know. But it's one of those things where you can't, like, it's Elton friggin' John. I mean, no matter what, no matter how bad the product turns out as far as the film goes, he's still going to put his best foot forward as far as the music goes, and the music is pretty much the only saving grace for this film. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the closing and all that other stuff after this.
Coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd is GrandCon Gaming and Comics Convention, presented by Celebration Cinemas. Join us in playing or chatting it up with fellow enthusiasts in a community that understands your passions. Get lost in the adventure of your favorite role-playing game. Admire costumes and art from vendors and attendees. Meet the creators behind your favorite mainstream and independent games and comic books. Check out unpublished games and sneak peek at things to come. You can get all this and more at GrandCon. For more information, please visit www.grand-con.com.
We are back, and we skipped a good majority of everything we normally talk about here in Two Guests Beyond, because after the rating, it's like, why even bother? Yes, the film's on DVD. We already talked about the critical reception, the soundtrack.
This is probably the only thing worth buying.
Yes, exactly.
It has a duet between Randy Newman and Elton John.
Yeah, that's damn good. Apparently, they had planned a sequel. DreamWorks
really?
Had plans to make more films about Tulio and Miguel, along with Chell and Altivio, searching for other legends, but due to the poor box office performance,
the series
was scrapped. Yes.
And we're all saved.
Yes, yes, we're all saved from that crap. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are some ways to get in contact with us, or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on each and every one of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter, at ToonCastBeyond is the show Twitter. Mine is TFGO and Mike. You can also follow at GeekCastRadio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter, sir?
Well, that would be at Sketch1984.
Yes. There should be a regular Sketch. Since you like Mordecai and Rigby so much.
I used to have, like, for a very long time, my icon was Mordecai drawn in kind of classic Disney style, mm-hmm. as if it's what Pops sees the world as.
Interesting.
Pretty cool fan art that I came across and decided to make that my avatar. But then I had a friend draw me One Piece style, and that's what I use now.
Interesting. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us what show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be talking some Tasmanian stuff with the classic cartoon Tasmania. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening, and keep those tunes a rollin'. Catch you next time, folks.
Come to Tasmania. Come to Tasmania. Come to Tasmania. We need you!
You gotta love a combination of Jess Harnell and Jim Cummings.
Oh, yes.